SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
It's a Monday on Football Full Circle, which means we recap the entirety of a Sunday slate around the National Football League in a very chaotic Saturday and weekend in college football. He is the mastermind of the pigskin. That is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. We welcome you to the Football Full Circle on this Monday, all across the Sports Grid Radio Network in Sirius XM Channel 159. Lisi guy, we look back on Sunday in the NFL in all of the upsets that we saw in CFB over the next hour up until 1 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, I mean, the action on Sunday was amazing. I mean, you know, Baltimore might honestly be the best team in the NFL. I know from a record perspective, they didn't show that, but they outdueled Joe Burrow 41-38. They have three consecutive wins now over Dallas, Buffalo, and the Cincinnati Bengals. And I tell you, the way Lamar Jackson and that offense are both running the football and throwing it, they're humming right now, and they're hitting on all cylinders. On the flip side, Josh Allen, that team really hit the skids over the past couple of weeks. They have a lot of question marks. Browns are terrible. A bunch of other teams got off the mat, and that's what makes the NFL so special. In college football, you know, dogs were barking on Saturday afternoon.
Dogs continue to bark in the NFL as well, getting 5.5 points or greater. A couple of large upsets in the afternoon window on the Sunday slate. And Lisi guy, it was a long Sunday, right? Started early across the pond, 9:30 a.m. Eastern time. The Vikings improved to a 5-0 record. They remain unbeaten because Aaron Rodgers kept throwing the ball to the team that he had seen 30 times in his career. And it ended late on Sunday, or perhaps even early on Monday morning, after a weather delay in the Steel City. Pittsburgh and Dallas, Sunday night football to end out the Week 5 Sunday slate, goes into the early morning hours on Monday. And in the final seconds of the game, in the fourth quarter, early on Monday, Dak Prescott leads Dallas to a victory 20-17. Connects with Jalen Tolbert on fourth and goal from Pittsburgh's 4 for the go-ahead and game-winning touchdown. Dallas wins outright as a 2.5-point underdog against Pittsburgh. A total that closed in the low 40s stays under. Dallas Joe is 3-2 this year. Dallas Joe has won all 3 of those games away from the star and on the road.
Yeah, I mean, that's an impressive feat if you think about it, because teams are typically a much better home team than they are on the road. You generally decide good teams and separate them from the elite teams on, you know, road record, right? So it's mind-boggling that they've lost both home games and got abused by Baltimore and New Orleans. And Baltimore was closer because of a fourth quarter rally, but they got kicked in the chops in both of those games. And they've rebounded with 3 straight road games. Now, you know, Pittsburgh, yes, you know, Pittsburgh really played into that, I thought, a little bit last night. When you think about the turnovers, you know, the blocked field goal and how many opportunities Justin Fields and that offense had to potentially put it away, and they couldn't do it. But still credit Mike McCarthy. They have a pulse. Now we'll see what they could do over the second half of the season.
The Steelers, Joe, started a perfect 3-0, one of the 5 teams to be 3-0. They have dropped 2 consecutive games in the past 2 weeks, booked as the favorite in both. Now 10-7 ATS as the favored side since the start of 2022. And since the start of 2022, the Cowboys entering last night only 4-8 against the number as an underdog. But they've won outright as an underdog against AFC North teams twice already this year on the road. Week number 1, hammering the Browns, who are a bad football team, and getting the edge over Pittsburgh last night. Lisi guy, the Steelers are going to feel as though they let an opportunity get away, because they did not take advantage fully of Dallas's turnovers. Dak throws 2 interceptions. They had 2 turnovers in the opening half, did the Cowboys, in Pittsburgh's red zone. And they almost had a 3rd as Rico Dowdle on 2nd and goal from the 1 in the closing minute of the game, fumbled the football. Dak Prescott was Johnny on the spot, able to recover, setting the stage for that fourth and goal opportunity in the game winning touchdown. So Dallas is 3-2. Pittsburgh is 3-2. Dak throws for more than 350 with two touchdowns, but two interceptions. Jalen Tolbert, leading receiver, 87 yards and a score. Rico Dowdle starting to get involved. 20 carries, 87 yards. Also caught a touchdown last night from Dak Prescott as well. Elsewhere around the NFL, Joe, on that Sunday slate, as you alluded to at the very start, crucial AFC matchups that have conference implications for a couple of conference contenders. Let's start in the AFC North. No love lost, but a lot of points scored between the Bengals and the Ravens in Cincinnati. Cincy trailed early, fought their way back, had a late lead in the fourth quarter. Costly interception out of Joe Burrow, despite throwing for five touchdown passes against the flock. Leads to the game-tying field goal. We go to overtime, tied at 38 all. Baltimore gets the ball first. They fail to score. Cincy gets it. They have an opportunity to kick a field goal to win. Bad hold. They are unable to take advantage. A couple of plays later, Derrick Henry tears off a 51-yard run down the field, and Justin Tucker pays it off, connecting from short range. Baltimore outlasts Cincinnati in overtime, 41-38. The Ravens cover as a 2.5-point road favorite.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing is that you got Cincinnati's best effort. Do they just go the other way for the rest of the regular season, right? You know, this was an opportunity to erase their, you know, 0-3 start. They did get a victory a couple of weeks ago. But again, you know, when you put up basically 38 points, Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow hitting on all cylinders, you would believe that Cincinnati, with that defense, especially over the past few seasons, would be able to close it out. They had multiple 10-point leads in the fourth quarter and could not do it. I mean, the mental and physical resolve of the Ravens and Lamar Jackson just willed that team to a victory. You missed a field goal. And again, you know, we know that Minnesota's 5-0. And again, there, you can make the argument that Kansas City's still the best team, and rightfully so with Pat Mahomes. But the way they have played Baltimore from an offensive perspective over the past 3 weeks, they're as good as anybody, Ben.
Yeah, the defense has to figure it out. The defense for both teams, though, really struggling so far this year. The Ravens still good defending the run, best rushing defense in the NFL. But through the air, that Baltimore secondary has been exposed a time or two. And Joe Burrow, Joe, 30 of 39 for 392 yards in five touchdown tosses. Ja'Marr Chase, 193 in two scores. T. Higgins, 83 yards in two scores. Cincy's offense can't do anything more than they have. They have scored 25 points in four consecutive games. The Bengals have gone over in four consecutive games, and yet they're 1-3 in that span and 1-4 so far this year. It's really getting late early for Cincinnati. Joe Burrow said they're not a championship caliber team at this point. They may not have the opportunity to ever even hunt a championship, let alone the postseason. Meanwhile, Lamar Jackson, playing at an MVP level, 348 yards, four touchdowns yesterday in Cincy, 55 yards on the ground. Would have been the leading rusher until overtime when Derrick Henry breaks off that crucial 51-yard scamper. But, Joe, Derrick Henry has been great in the three-game win streak for Baltimore. The Ravens have done enough against staunch competition. They started 0-2, had to go to Dallas. They win and cover as a short favorite. On Sunday Night Football, they blow the doors off Buffalo, covering as a short favorite. Even as a road favorite in a divisional duel yesterday, they get a cover. Baltimore back above 500, 3-2 so far this season.
Yeah, again, you know, start slow, and all of a sudden they've put it together, and you can make an argument that the two games that they did lose, they were in a position to win them. It's just unfortunate, right? They should have beat Kansas City if Isaiah Likely's foot's in bounds, Ben.
Yeah, absolutely so, Joe. And then a very dreadful loss as an 8.5-point favorite against the Raiders in week two. But since then, been all good for Baltimore. Now a minus 230 favorite to win the AFC North. Elsewhere from the Sunday slate, next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
A couple of crucial AFC matchups on the Sunday slate for week number 5 of the 2024 NFL season. He's Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. We'll just keep talking through the loud music because our voices can even be louder. Lisi guy, as we look at this game in Houston, the Texans and the Bills facing off in H-Town. Houston opened as an early week underdog, closing as a slight home favorite. And at the very close of the game, as time expired, 59-yard field goal is good from Kaimi Fairbairn. Houston improves to a 4-1 mark. Buffalo, after a 3-0 start, has dropped 2 in a row. Lisi guy, first cover of the year for the Houston Texans as a slight home favorite. They're 10-3 at home in the CJ Stroud era since the start of the 2023 season. That's 10-3 straight up. Big home win in Houston over Buffalo.
Yeah, and you know, CJ Stroud was on point for the first half of that game, hits the big touchdown over the top to Nico Collins. It's amazing to see the emergence of Nico Collins in regards to the NFL. Crazy. He was leading all wide receivers entering the week. He has another big touchdown now. He's got the hamstring injury. Potentially, right. He might be out next week. But that being said, I mean, that the passing attack really took over early, set the stage, it forced Josh Allen and that offense to become one-dimensional. He tried to get it back in, hits Keon Coleman with the touchdown. They cut it to 3. But I was more impressed, Ben, and I'm sure you were as well, with the defensive front. Multiple pressures of Josh Allen. The secondary locked him down. 30% completion percentage for the game. Only, 9 completions? I mean, outside the big play, everything was a dink and dunk for Josh Allen, and I was shocked that defense was able to step up and make that type of statement. That was a D'Amico Ryans type of game, and credit him and that defense. They played like a contender yesterday, and unfortunately, Buffalo has many answers over the past couple of weeks to answer.
9 of 30 for Josh Allen yesterday for 131 yards, 4.4 yards per attempt. Just mind-bogglingly bad numbers in terms of efficiency. And Joe, 3 attempts of the 30 that still boggle the mind as well on this Monday. In the final minute, from its own 5-yard line, Buffalo throws the football 3 consecutive times. 2 interception-worthy throws from Josh Allen. So Houston saves its timeouts. Buffalo punts it away. Robert Woods actually has a pretty good return, 13 yards. They bring it right back into Houston territory, which allowed even a 59-yarder to be attempted, and it was good. After the game, Sean McDermott taking the blame for game and clock management. Very strange out of Buffalo, who again has dropped 3 or 2 in a row. Houston now at 4-1. You mentioned Nico Collins, still the NFL's leading receiver. Just 2 grabs, 78 yards. The big bomb touchdown for 67. Did exit early with a hamstring injury. Joe, the only receiver in the NFL with more than 500 yards. He's got 567. So who ended the day after Collins exits early in the opening half as Houston's leading receiver? That would be Stephon Diggs. Revenge is a dish best served cold. 6 grabs for 82 yards against his former team in Buffalo. Huge win for Houston. So, Lisi guy, just quickly looking at those AFC title odds with those contenders. The Chiefs, who will play on Monday night hosting New Orleans, plus 240. The Ravens now, second best price again, plus 390. Buffalo still has the third best number at plus 460. The Texans at plus 550. We've got a large drop-off to the New York Jets at 17-1. And believe me, we will talk Aaron Rodgers and Gangrene in just a moment. But those huge AFC matchups yesterday, Joe, the Ravens get a big road win, and the Houston Texans take care of business at home.
Yeah, so I think if you're looking big picture, like you said, and we don't know the outcome of tonight's game between New Orleans and Kansas City, but assuming Kansas City wins, they're still, in my opinion, the top dog because of Pat Mahomes.
Yeah.
You know, do they have the type of role players, especially with the injury to Rice and all the injuries to, you know, Pacheco as well? Well, only time will tell, but Pat Mahomes has proved he could do that. If we're looking second best team, I think I'm a little partial. Like, I probably would say it's Lamar and Baltimore, but I want to say it's Houston. I just need to see Houston a couple of more weeks before. If that defense plays the way they did yesterday, throughout the next couple of weeks, I'm all in, because I think C.J. Stroud, to me, battle-tested. I love, you know, Mixon was out yesterday. Cam Akers has been a nice addition. You know, you get the full body and roster back, I still believe Houston can be there. But again, we saw this out of Jacksonville. They're still a young team. Saw it last year, 8-3 and fell off a cliff. So I want to monitor week to week. I would put KC, Baltimore, Houston, and Buffalo, to me, really has to step up. I was so high on them, but they have an identity problem now. They need to fix it.
Buffalo is the only team in the AFC East with a winning record. Same story in the AFC South for the Texans at 4-1. The Jaguars off the mat yesterday. They hold on, and I mean hold on, against Joe Flacco and Indianapolis, winning 37-34 at home. They led by 14, 34-20, with just over 5 minutes remaining before Flacco, who threw for 360 virtually and three touchdowns, connected with Alec Pierce a couple of times. Elsewhere around the AFC South, the Titans had the bye this week, but they are just 1-3. So the Texans now -390, Joe, to win the division for a second straight year. The best record, though, currently in the NFL, that's the Minnesota Vikings at a perfect 5-0. The Vikings taking advantage of three interceptions thrown by Aaron Rodgers yesterday in our first game internationally this year in the NFL. Not our first game, because we did start in Sao Paulo, but our first London game of the year. The Vikings winning 23-17, led 17-0 in the opening half. Things did get interesting late, and Aaron Rodgers was driving his Jets offense down the field before an awful ball that was easily intercepted by Stephon Gilmore. The Vikings are 5-0, Joe, and they covered as a 2.5-point favorite, 5-0 against the spread as well.
Yeah, defense sold that game for the Vikings because their offense didn't help in the second half, and Big Bad Aaron didn't look so good yesterday.
We'll talk more about the Jets in the outlook moving forward elsewhere around the NFL slate next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on FFC, it is Football Full Circle. We continue our reactions to the Sunday slate in week number 5 of the NFL season. Joe, Aaron Rodgers and the Jets are now 2-3. Aaron Rodgers, the 40-year-old coming off a torn Achilles, threw the football 54 times and has a low ankle sprain. He also threw three interceptions, and the Vikings take advantage, including a pick six early in the opening quarter from Andrew Van Ginkle. Minnesota is 5-0, and also the only 5-0 against the spread team in the NFL that is perfect against the number. The Vikings, a big win in London to remain undefeated.
Yeah, again, you know, Sam Darnold looked sharp early on. He was attacking that secondary. Yep. Justin Jefferson made some plays, and they jump up, you know, 17-0 because of the pick six for a return and multiple errors on the Jets, you know, penalties, muffs, and just, you know, formations, you name it, they made mistakes. The defense kept them in it and almost pulled that game out because Sam Darnold couldn't do anything in the second half, couldn't even basically complete a pass, was under duress and pressure multiple times. And it comes down to their quarterback, right? If the Jets just had a quarterback, they would have made the playoffs last year. Well, now they got their quarterback, and he threw three picks. Right? And the best was the Willis Reed moments that I saw out of that. He was writhing in pain, you know, looked like they're going to, I mean, you know, how many memes were we going to see of Aaron Rodgers look like? He was like dead and buried. But as soon as the Jets got the ball back, he couldn't wait to put his helmet back on, right? It was amazing. So, you know what?
Yeah.
Only time will tell. This is a sinking ship. The rats are going to be jumping soon enough. Devontae Adams can't save them. Robert Salah, as like I say, Robert Salah, right? I know how to say his name, but I say Salah. You know why? Because he's terrible. The team is run by Aaron Rodgers. And at the end of the day, this is what the Jets are. Nothing but a 7-10 football team. That's all they'll ever be.
I mean, listen, Lisey guy, 17-1 now for the Jets to win the AFC. We have always guessed over the last 2 years, what does success look like for Aaron Rodgers and the Jets? This season, it starts with snapping the 13-year playoff drought. If they do not, and they are a game below 500, Aaron Rodgers most likely is not there in 2025. Even if he is, do you want him to be your starting quarterback, knowing he could not lead you to a playoff spot in 2024? How much have you set back your franchise? I'm not talking a season. I'm talking 3, 5, 7, 10 years down the line because you bent the knee and you gave into every will and demand that this guy had over the last 18 to 22 months. That's the question. And will a playoff spot even be enough? I don't know, Lisey guy, but that's where it starts. I'll just say this. Robert Saleh probably doesn't survive this year as the head coach unless they earn a playoff spot or maybe even beyond. But I guarantee you, Lisey guy, whatever the Netflix documentary is or the book that he writes, he will be incredibly critical and damning of his time working with Aaron Rodgers. When that ball was intercepted by Stephon Gilmore in the final minute of regulation yesterday, there was a quick ISO shot on Saleh on the sideline, and he was just shaking his head. Like, I can't believe they made me hitch my wagon to this 40-year-old on a bum Achilles, and this is going to be my career in the National Football League as a head coach.
No, you're right. But again, I don't believe he's an elite head coach. You know, he might be a solid head coach. I don't think he's a good game planner. He's a great defensive coordinator. I'm not taking away his strength. And that defense played like a legit contender. That front seven, the back end with Sauce Gardner, they made the adjustments. Yeah. They forced turnovers. They put themselves in a position to win. But at the end of the day, Aaron Rodgers was supposed to lead this team. They have no consistent rushing attack over the past couple of weeks. They can't run the football. And they're not going to win games, Ben, if the rushing attack isn't there. If it's solely Aaron Rodgers dropping back and throwing, he might not even make it through the rest of the regular season. Look at him now. They battered him yesterday.
DC guy, last 2 weeks against Denver and against Minnesota yesterday, less than 3 yards per carry. Against the Broncos, they ran it for 64 yards. Yesterday, 36 yards on only 14 attempts. What happened to Breece Hall? What happened to Braylon Allen? What happened to the O-line? It's not good right now for the New York Jets, who have dropped 2 straight games. By the way, an underdog now 44 times under Robert Saleh as the head coach since the start of 2021. 17-27 ATS. Plenty more from the NFL Sunday slate next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
The year of the underdog continues in the NFL. Lisi guy, after week 5 Sunday slate, 5.5-point dogs or greater this year are now 19-4-1 against the spread, including 13 outright wins. That happened in each of the 2 spots. It was possible yesterday on Sunday. Let's start in Santa Clara. The Cardinals, a 7.5-point underdog against the San Francisco 49ers, down 23-10 at the break, blank the Niners in the second, and come all the way back to win 24-23. A huge outright win for Arizona to pick up its second of the season.
Yeah, shout out to my bagel guy on Saturday mornings. Big play with the Cardinals plus the 7.5. You know, they have played San Francisco tough over the past couple of seasons. You know, James Conner, I believe, last year had a huge day against them. And there are certain aspects of the Cardinals offense that match up very well against the 49ers defense. And they got exploited in regards to this, you know, matchup yesterday. And shout out to Kyler Murray and that offense for pulling it out, even without Marvin Harrison having a huge game, right? So at the end of the day, I mean, you know, Jonathan Gannon is a pretty good coach because he's done more with less, I believe, over the past couple of seasons. He won with Josh Dobbs for the most part, or at least covered in the early part of the year. And now they're starting to make, you know, headway with Kyler Murray. Got the victory over the Rams, a divisional opponent. You knock off the best team in the West again, so they have two division wins now. I mean, do I believe they're going to be a playoff contender this year? No, but if Kyler and that offense put up 20, 27 points, they can play with anybody. It just comes down to can their defense shut the door, and they did the job against Brock Purdy yesterday.
Yeah, certainly in the second half, forcing a fumble from Jordan Mason with just under 6.5 minutes remaining in regulation when the Niners were trying to get on the board in the fourth quarter, first and goal from Arizona's 8, a big defensive play. So the Cardinals are 11-9 against the spread as an underdog in the 20 games they have been booked as a dog with Jonathan Gannon since the start of last year. A really good cover team. Elsewhere, Lisa Guy, the Giants were getting 6.5 up in the Pacific Northwest against the Seahawks. They went outright. They blocked a potential game-tying field goal with 55 ticks remaining in regulation and took it back the other way to the house. After a 3-0 start for the Seahawks, they're now 3-2 and just 1-3-1 against the spread this year. The Giants, Joe, yesterday was their 20th straight game booked as the underdog. They're 11-8-1 against the number in that span and the outright victory yesterday.
Yeah, I liked the Giants yesterday, and I got almost, you know, mocked on Pro Football Today for liking the Giants. But
by who?
You know, I it doesn't matter. We'll talk about it. Your sidekick on the early line. It was supposed to be blowout city in regards to Seattle. Yeah. But here's the reason why I like the Giants. I don't love the Giants. I don't love Brian Daboll, and I certainly don't like Daniel Jones. But I will say it's more about what Seattle isn't than what they are. I thought they overexceeded expectations at 3-0. I thought they were basically only a 7 or an 8 win football team. I'm not a big believer in Geno Smith being an elite quarterback. He's an adequate, you know, good quarterback. He's not elite. He's not Joe Burrow or certainly not Pat Mahomes or anybody like Lamar for that matter, right? So I thought there would be regression. And the way Daniel Jones at least played last week, right? Even without Malik Nabers at the end, right? He still made really good reads. 281 yards. I believe that Wandale Robinson could have been a factor. He was. We saw Slayton with 100 yards. You know, Daniel Jones now back-to-back. That was I picked Daniel Jones late yesterday on the show. 250 plus was plus 550. If he could throw like that, who knows? Maybe he is worth $40 million, right? Because Brian Daboll seems to get the most out of Daniel Jones. Maybe he could save his job.
Both wins this year for New York. Daniel Jones has thrown for more than 230 and 2 touchdowns without a turnover. That's good football. Joe, all 3 of our starting rookie quarterbacks around the NFL booked as a home favorite yesterday and all won and covered in one big by at least 16 points. Let's start with Jaden Daniels. The Commanders absolutely blowing out the Browns 34-13, easily covering as a 3-point home favorite. Washington, one of the surprises early on this year, 4-1. They have won 4 straight. They have covered in all 4, 2 of them as the favored side, over in 3 straight as well. Washington blows out Cleveland by 21.
Yeah, I didn't watch a lot of that game. I was watching the Buffalo game. I did see them jump up early, saw the gaffe with Deshaun Watson. To me, you know, that was what Washington had to do. If they're for real, potentially as a wild card contender, you have to close out Cleveland Browns, right? And they did that. They put up another dynamic offensive performance with 24-plus points. Jaden Daniels progressing. He didn't throw for 300, but he didn't make mistakes, and he put his team in a position. Yep. And Dan Quinn has really transformed this defense. Where Ron Rivera had this team at the end of the regular season to where this defense is now, They're showing signs of life. And I got to be honest with you, Ben. I told you in the offseason. The fact that Washington was ever entertaining Drake May as the quarterback with a newfound optimism in a new class with Josh Harris in ownership, that was the worst thing. They made the proper decision. They brought a winner in there. And don't be shocked if he leads them to a playoff appearance. Great effort yesterday.
Best record still in the NFC East. His first game with less than a 70% completion percentage, only 14 of 25, but still 238 through the air and a touchdown, albeit one interception, was Washington's leading rusher with 82 yards on the ground. Joe, unsurprisingly, more records and history for Daniels. He is the first player in NFL history, first quarterback with more than 1,000 passing yards and more than 250 rushing yards in his first five career games. Meanwhile, on the other side, Deshaun Watson, 125 yards. He has thrown for less than 200 in all five games. Cleveland is 1-4. The Browns have not covered in any of their four losses, twice as an underdog. Cleveland made the worst investment you will ever see. He is making $46 million guaranteed this year in Deshaun Watson. And listen, frankly, it's not all been on him. The offensive line is atrocious. The defense nowhere as good as we expected or anticipated they would be. But it's bad times in Cleveland, man, that's for sure.
Yeah, no identity, right? You know, even with Deshaun Watson there, they were built to run the football with Nick Chubb. He has the offseason injury. They can't run the football consistently to take the pressure off of the offensive line in critical third downs, and certainly not Deshaun Watson. The fact that he hasn't thrown for over 200 is a telltale sign that either he's not dialed in, Ben, or he's just, you know, hit his peak and he's washed up before he even got started in Cleveland. It's amazing. You know, credit Houston for making the proper decision. Whatever they saw in Deshaun Watson to let him go and not sign him. I mean, think about that. I mean, the fact that Joe Flacco put up 370 or 380 yesterday for Indianapolis, they let this guy walk out of the yard. I mean, they could have had him as a back. What are you going to do? And I know the money's guaranteed, but you really have to say, as an organization, we screwed up. We have to bite it somehow, some way. This guy can't be in the building anymore. What do you do?
Well, you bench him, first off. You start Jameis Winston. You let Kevin Stefanski have some fun. But, Lisa, if you cut him, the cap hit is more than $200 million. The dead cap hit is more than $200 mil. Listen, they've made their bed. We don't feel bad for the Haslam family. They made their bed. Now they got to lay in it. But I'm just saying that's probably why he's not going to be cut or released. And there ain't no trade value for this guy. You want to get that creep out the building, I understand. I think the first move is to put him on the bench and have Jameis Winston at least see if he can take advantage of Stefanski's system like we saw with Joe Flacco a year ago. The other two rookie quarterbacks we'll get to on the other side of the break. We'll finish out the Sunday slate. Some thoughts on Monday Night Football before we dive into the college football weekend of chaos and insanity that we saw next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
All three rookie quarterbacks as home favorites yesterday, performing well and picking up big dubs for their team. Washington wins 34-13 against Cleveland, covering as a 3-point home favorite. Caleb Williams and the Bears, Joe, when they have been at Soldier Field in the Windy City, it's been perfect. 3-0 straight up, booked as a favorite in all three, and they cover in all three. 36-10, dismantling Carolina yesterday. So many ties, of course, between these two franchises, and the Bears make it look good. Caleb Williams, 20 of 29, 304 yards, two touchdowns, no turnovers. In the game, DJ Moore caught both of the two touchdown tosses from Williams against his former franchise. The Bears win and cover easily.
Yeah, 304 back-to-back weeks now, or two out of the 3 weeks we've seen Caleb Williams throw for over 300 yards. They've won. They get the victory last week with the rushing attack and against the Rams. They step up, and this was the offense. Before you could blink, they had a double-digit lead on the Panthers. defense is playing like they were at the end of the regular season last year. And if they play that way, they're going to be there in regards to potentially a wild card appearance. They do have three wins on the year. Caleb is progressing. Do I think he's as far along as Jaden? No, but that's not to take away from his performance. That team is built around him now. Now that he has to maintain that consistency. We'll see if he could do it on the road, right? Playing at home, a lot different than on the road. But another critical win. And again, you know, I'm not high on Eberflus. I still think they might top out at seven or eight wins, but we'll see how it plays out. Early on, they're playing well.
Everybody in the NFC North is above 500. It is the only division with more than two teams above 500. And that includes the Packers. Win number one when Jordan Love gets a start this year, 24-19, the victory for Green Bay on the road in LA against the Rams. The Packers cover as a 3-point road favorite. Jordan Love gets the win. One of the worst interceptions you will ever see, but a good win nonetheless for Green Bay.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. You know, Jordan Love, a terrible interception right before half. He was getting tackled in the end zone. He regrouped. And that defense closed the door against Matt Stafford, right? They didn't give up a lot of chunk plays. You know, L.A. obviously limited on the perimeter to Atwell, the only speedster that they have. And they shut down Kyren for the most part in regards to the rushing attack. You know, they were playing with a double-digit deficit from the fourth quarter on, and they just pinned their ears back and battered Matt Stafford in the fourth quarter. So, again, Jordan Love, this offense, I mean, he makes the big throws when he has to. I like them big picture. You know, I really like Green Bay, and I think, honestly, they could play like that on the road. They're going to be right there with Detroit challenging for the title in the division.
Ground game got involved a little bit more yesterday as well. Josh Jacobs, 73 yards and a score. Tucker Kraft, the second-year tight end from South Dakota State, looking darn good. Two receiving touchdowns yesterday. Bo Nix leads Denver to a win in its first game as a favorite this year. Make it three in a row for the Broncos, Joe. They dismantle and dispatch the Raiders easily, 34-18. Bo Nix good, over 200 yards. The defense has been great for the Raiders. Vegas benched Gardner Minshew in favor of Aiden O'Connell. Not much offensively for the Raiders.
No, I was wrong on the Raiders. I thought that they would step up, and they started fast, right? Had a 10-0 lead, but then the interception by Patrick Surtain really changed the momentum of that game. Bo Nix has elevated his game, now 200 yards off the 60-yard performance. But again, now, you know, credit Sean Payton. We saw this last year, right, where they were 2-5. They gave up 70 points to Miami, and they buckled up, and he found ways to just out-game plan opponents. Sean Payton has done another great job. Now, can they carry it this time to potentially a wild card appearance? Only time will tell. But Bo Nix is now battle tested and winning games on the road, and more importantly, at home. That's what you want to see.
Multiple INTs for Nix in his first two games of his career in this three-game win streak. Has not turned the football over. He has five total touchdowns. Quickly here, Lisey Guy, let's round it out with the Dolphins and the Patriots. Miami gets a win. The ground game was good. Both Jalen Wright and Raheem Mostert, more than 80 yards, but 15-10 for the Fins. There could have been a game-winning touchdown from Jacoby Brissett to the rookie Jalen Polk with just over a minute remaining. Couldn't get the second foot down in bounds. Probably should have. So Miami survives in New England.
Yeah, ugly game. I mean, I thought that the prop market would be ripe, and it was. I hit almost every prop, but I coupled it with the over, and that killed me. I thought that we would have points in regards to that matchup. They found a way to win, and that's good for Mike McDaniel to take the pressure off. But you got to continue to feed Tyreek and Jalen Waddle. Forget the rushing attack. It's good. We know it's good, but you still got to make those guys eat if they're going to win any games down the stretch. And honestly, I don't think they're a playoff contender. Certainly not with Huntley and Tua out of that lineup.
Oh, yeah, Dolphins trying to hold on right now until Tua Tagovailoa can come back. He is symptom-free from that concussion. Still on injured reserve. All right, Monday Night Football to round out Week 5 in Kansas City. The Chiefs a 5.5-point favorite as they host the Saints. Total now down to 42 and a hook. KC trying to join Minnesota and keep pace as the only two undefeated teams left in the NFL at 5-0. Lisi Guy, what do you like for Monday Night Football?
I think Kansas City boat races them, wins by double digits. I know they have not looked good. They have struggled at home this year, laying 5.5. Typically, it sounds like maybe a dog line, but I'm going to lay it with Kansas City. And I think Pat Mahomes and that passing attack get live tonight.
It is a dog line that has been good this year. Again, 5.5-point dogs or greater, 19-4-1 against the spread. New Orleans, an underdog twice, a perfect 2-0 ATS. The Chiefs, though, Joe, a favorite in all four games, they're 3-1 against the number. They have gone under in two consecutive games. New Orleans over in 3 of 4. You think it's a big night for the offense, even without Rashee Rice and Isaiah Pacheco? Who steps up?
Yeah, I think it's Xavier Worthy, 42.5 number. I altered him up to 80+. Next man up for Pat Mahomes. That's what they do.
Travis Kelce was huge last week. More receiving yards, 89 of them in week number 4 for KC. Then in the first 3 weeks, he only had 69. Keep an eye on Chris Olave, by the way. 59 in the hook. His receiving yards prop at least 80 in 3 straight games. College football next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
As we were getting you ready for the first Saturday in October, week number 6 around the country in college football, we shared that, hey, it probably wasn't the 4 ranked versus ranked top 25 tilts that we had on the final Saturday of September that featured the game of the year in Tuscaloosa. It's not going to be this upcoming Saturday, October 12th, a day that we have had circled all year long. Might be a little bit sleepy, but sleepy might mean upsets, and upsets might mean chaos. And that's exactly what we got. 7 ranked teams upset or at least losing in week number 6 of the CFB campaign. The most in a single weekend since the 2018 season. And Joe, 6 of those 7 on Saturday. 5 of the 6 on Saturday ranked inside the top 11, including the number 1 team in the nation, Alabama, on the road in Nashville. Ran into Diego Pavia and Vanderbilt. The Commodores snap a 23-game losing skid to the Crimson Tide. The first victory for Vandy over Bama since 1984. Pavia leads the doors to a 22.5-point underdog upset outright win, 40-35.
Yeah, what an addition to have the former New Mexico State quarterback in Nashville. He almost struck the upset over, at that time, number 9 Missouri, right? A couple of weeks ago, pushed them to the limit in regards to overtime, right? So he's a great addition. But this is, you know, the Kalen DeBoer era. You get the marquee win as an underdog in your house against number 2 ranked Georgia. Where's the consistency? Uh-oh. We talked about the mad scientist. He would have had that team, you know, probably even more upset thinking that Vanderbilt could play with them. And I'll just say this. Prior to that game, the last time they played was 2022. They had won 12 straight. The last time they played, Bama won 55-3. And Jalen Milroe can beat Georgia, and he can beat LSU, but he can't beat Vandy for some reason. What a victory by Pavia and Clark Lee. Great effort. And that defense with Malachi Moore, that situation, unbelievable as well, Ben.
Malachi Moore blowing off his defensive coordinator, Cade Womack, even though he is a captain. Very intriguing stuff in Nashville, but what a party it was for Vandy. The goalpost down, they brought it to Broadway. They had a heck of a time. Diego Pavia, by the way, the first quarterback in the last 20 years to lead a team to 3 outright wins as a 3-touchdown dog or greater. Twice with New Mexico State in 2022 against Liberty, and a season ago on the road on the plains of Auburn, taking down the Tigers in Jordan-Hare, and of course on Saturday against Alabama. We saw Tennessee get upset in Fayetteville. The Hogs winning outright as a 2-touchdown dog. From Malachi Moore, bad, to Malachi Singleton, the freshman quarterback, stepping up for the outright outright win. A big victory for Arkansas as well, Lisa Guy, on Saturday.
Yeah, and, you know, I credit Sam Pittman because, you know, they should have won against Oklahoma State. They couldn't. They had two losses. They were really heading into that game. And you know what? They found a way to pull it out, and they have now won four straight against Tennessee. And it's not just the offense. You know, we talk about Jaquindon Jackson, you know, entering that matchup, a dominant rush, run-heavy offense. But that defense was holding opposing offenses to, like, less than 80 rushing yards per game. They did it yet again and held a high-powered offense in check, 4-2 overall. Great effort by Pittman and the crew.
4-0 against the spread as an underdog, including a couple of outright victories there for the Razorbacks as well. Some bounce-back spots in the SEC. Ole Miss rolls on the road against South Carolina. Georgia handles business, not covering, but winning big, 31-13 against Auburn in the Deep South's oldest rivalry. Lisa, we almost saw another upset on Saturday night in Northern California. Miami down 35-10 midway through the third quarter. They come all the way back. And that ACC replay review center, they love them some Canes. Fernando Mendoza trying to scramble for a first down late in the football game. Got hit hard. Looked to be targeting, as we know the rule. Flag was thrown. It was review. Flag picked up. Miami then forces Cal to punt. And they do take advantage. Cam Ward, game-winning touchdown, throwing for more than 400 and a couple of scores.
Yeah, if Cam Ward wasn't in the Hurricane uniform, they'd have two losses already. He's definitely a Heisman Trophy frontrunner. But Big Chess living very dangerously over the past couple
dangerously.
Of weeks.
Dangerously. But he's not the Heisman Trophy favorite. That's Ashton Jeanty. More than 1,000 yards already through five games in 13 rushing scores. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. Football Full Circle returns tomorrow on Sports Grid Radio at noon Eastern.